My obsession has to deal with money. I guess that's where it begins, right? Nobody has ever had that obsession. And it starts off, there's so many different things that are colluding here in my mind as I try and put this story together. The story probably won't be funny. It may not even be interesting, but we're going to give it a shot, and we'll blame Joe otherwise, who told me I needed to come up this way. So you guys look at Joe. If it sucks, you know who to go after. But when I was a kid, I remember in Maryland, I grew up in Baltimore. I used to live here some 25 years or so ago, and I remember most of my friends were older than me, and they were able to get a summer job. And I envied them so much because I wanted a summer job. I'm the oldest of seven kids, and we just ain't have no money. And so I said, I want a job. So when I became 15 and 9 months, I heard that was the legal age. I didn't have to wait till 16, and I could actually get a job. Well, no one would hire me until I was at least 16, and it became very frustrating. So one day, I was listening to the radio, and my favorite radio station at the time, Music Power V103, WXYV Baltimore, you know, if you guys remember that. And it sounded like there was a job opening for young people who happened to be in my age. And I said, well, dog, you know, this sounds like something I need to do. Now I'm going to take a brief break from what I was saying, hold my thought there, because I'm going to ask y'all, where was I, right? So every time, this is funny, every time I get next to a microphone or something, it kind of reminds me, I used to wrestle in high school. And, you know, when you get out on the mat, and you see your opponent, you start getting jittery, and you're like, oh, damn, am I going to be able to walk off the mat? Or is he going to be able to walk off the mat? You know, just a certain nervousness. The same thing happens whenever I get in front of a microphone. When I was a young kid, the funny thing was that although I was almost 16, I looked like I was about 10 years old. And so that made it even harder to get a job. Now, the only thing that might have made things a little easier for me was that if you didn't see me, I could sound older. And my voice changed early. And it's a funny thing, if you pause whenever you speak, and if you know how to pronounce certain syllables, you know, the consonants must end like that as opposed to they just end. You know? People kind of think you're intelligent and know what you're speaking about, right? And I used that when I would call and inquire about a job opportunity at different places. But getting back to when I was listening to Music Power V103 and I heard this thing about a job thing, they said they're accepting 30 kids in the city of Baltimore, and it was something called the Wiley Daniels Electronic Broadcast Media Workshop. And I would learn to find out that this Wiley Daniels Electronic Media Workshop was to introduce minority students about the media, because there's this huge underrepresentation. And I said, well, damn, I'll get to do that, and I get paid? So I was really excited. So I remember taking the bus. I ended up, they held it at Coppin State College back in the day. And I remember going there, and I saw 30 other colleagues, young folks, and we were all wondering, what's this all about? I remember the leader of this group, Arthur Bug, who was a WBAL-TV public relations director, came up, and he addressed the group, and he said, we're so glad to see you all here. You've been selected for this prestigious program. Welcome, welcome. And I'm sitting there, and he said, we're going to start in just a few moments. And here's some papers to fill out. And I'm looking at the papers, but I don't see anything that says W-9 or anything like this. And so I raised my hand, you know, Mr. Bug, how do we get paid? And he looks at me, son, you're not getting paid for this. This is a program where you're actually here to learn about media. And I was like, damn. But I didn't want to show my disappointment because you've got a whole bunch of other 16, 17, and 18-year-olds in the class, right? And you didn't want to look as though, you know, like they were idiots for being in something and they're not getting paid. You just wanted to, you know, fit in. And so I'm sitting there, and as I decided, I said, I'm going to do this. I'm here. I might as well make the most out of it. The most amazing thing would happen. Each day we'd have a guest speaker. There was a guy named Al Turner with WJZ-TV back in the day, who was a host. And I remember seeing him. I was like, wow, this is exciting. There was a woman named Maria Broom, who I remember. And I was like, wow, that's so cool to meet her, you know. And there was this woman named Oprah who worked with Richard Scher. And I used to watch that show. I mean, how many 15-year-olds watch a talk show? I used to love the show, and I watched it. And you get to meet these people at the end, ask them questions and advice, and everybody would tell you how hard it was to make a career in media. And I said, well, damn, I can't make a career in anything else, you know. Maybe I ought to give this a shot, right? And so it was. There were so many things that happened, twists and turns, in trying to make this career. And after the workshop, you know, I was always told, it's so hard to do this and so hard to do that. So I remembered the deal. Don't let them see you, DC Buster. Don't let them see you. But always let them hear you. And remember, I was wrestling. There was a guy named Bob Scott who did Afternoon Drive at V103. And Bob Scott had the people poll question of the day. And so as I was ready to run from class to wrestling practice, I had about a 10-minute window to get dressed and ready for practice. And that's when the people poll question of the day would pop up. And so Bob would always have these crazy questions. All right, guys, it's the people poll question of the day. You're listening to Music Power V103. And today's question is, Beth and Muhammad have been married for 1 month. They're having problems in the bedroom. What do you do? And so we're sitting there, and I was like, well, Beth and Muhammad, what would I actually have to say? I'm 15, but I can't say I'm 15. What do I have to say about their marriage? So I decided, on my way to wrestling practice, I'm going to make up this persona of the man of wisdom. And that was my name. And I changed my voice a little. I talked like this. It sounded kind of goofy. And I figured that way, because one of the cool things about radio, you can always be anonymous and make money. That's what I was thinking, right? And I would figure no one would know my voice. And so I changed it up, and I came on as the man of wisdom. And it worked really well. And Bob said, hey, what's your name again? Man of wisdom? Man, can you come on every week and do this? I mean, every day and do this? And I'm thinking, well, Bob, you know, I got a, you know, wrestling practice that starts at 2:45 and this and that. He said, don't worry about it. We'll work it out, and we can tape you, and it can sound live. And I said, really? And so that's what we would do. And it's funny, after about a month of this, some of my friends in class would say, Daryl, okay, that's my other name. They'd say, Daryl, there's this guy, and his name is the man of wisdom, and he sounds like you. And this is really embarrassing because I thought I was being, you know, incognito. And so anyway, I really got into doing this, and I remember, you know, I listened to B103 religiously, just all the time. I became a radio geek. You could ask me who owns WBAO, and I could tell you who owns it, when they buy it, what percent of the shares they have. I mean, that's how geeky I was at 15 about radio. I just really caught on to this thing. And so I said, I need to get a job. That's still my mission, right? Obsession about money. And, you know, there are times where I've had money before. In fact, I was a multimillionaire about a year ago. And you guys know how the market's changed and all that kind of stuff. And it was a real nice experience until I woke up. And the deal is, I said, I need to get this job. So back to getting the job. So there was a radio station in Baltimore at the time, 1360 AM, WEBB. And it had this fabulous history. Used to be owned by a guy by the name of James Brown. And then he sold it to a woman by the name of Dorothy Brunson. Dorothy Brunson was an African-American woman, and I really didn't know that African-Americans owned any kind of media here in Baltimore. So I was like, wow, I've got to meet her. I was like, well, how can I meet her? Well, maybe I can apply for a job and get in there. So again, remember, let them hear you, don't let them see you. I called the radio station, found out who the program director was, a guy by the name of Don Brooks. And I said, hey, you know, Mr. Brooks, I'd really be interested in working for your station. And I paused as I spoke. I said fewer words, and I spoke slowly. And he said, you know what? I think we've got an opening coming up. Why don't you come in? So we set this appointment for me to come in. And I walked, I'll never forget, I went into the station, I wore my best suit, which was my only suit. I looked sharp, you know, and I was polished down, and I sat down in the lobby. The lobby was about as big as this square here, this rectangle area, and there was nobody else in the lobby, and I went up to the receptionist, and I said, hi, my name is, and I told her, I said, I'm here to see Mr. Brooks, and she's like, looking at me like, this is odd, because again, I look 10 years old in a suit, you know, to see Mr. Brooks, and so she said, okay, we'll page him. So I go, and I'm the only one sitting in this waiting room, and I'm sitting here for 10 minutes thinking, my time is valuable. Where is this dude, right? Mr. Brooks, I knew who he was. I knew what he looked like. You know, I did my research. I saw him walk out of the back office. He went right past me, looked around, and looked out the window, looking for, like as if he was looking for someone. I said, should I say anything? I said, no, it's kind of intimidating. You know, he's a big dude, you know. So he walks back into his office behind a wall, and I'm still waiting for him. Comes back out again about 5 minutes later. He repeats the same actions. He's looking for somebody, and he walks back out. He walks back into the back office. This happens one more time, and he looks kind of irritated because whoever he's waiting for doesn't show up. And at that point, as he's looking out the window, imagine his face is looking out that glass. He's right up on the glass wondering, where is whoever I am? And I could tell he's looking for me. And I said, Mr. Brooks. And he's facing the water. He's facing the glass. And you can see him just look up. And I'm behind him. So he knows the voice. But you can see him processing. Even though I could only see the back of his head, he's processing. There's only a 10-year-old kid back here. I hear this voice. And I looked and I remember, and I had admired this man. I read his history. I knew so much about him. I probably knew more about him than his mama and dad knew and the CIA knew. And so I remember he walked over to me and I said, Mr. Brooks, I am. And I introduced him, told him my name. And he looked at me, he paused, and then he just started laughing. And he said, young man, you're a kid. You're a kid. Come back, you know, when you graduate from college. And I was crushed. But more than crushed, I was pissed. Because this was my dream. And how dare this man take my dream away from me when all I wanted to do was make a little bit of money. So at the time, I had heard that one of my other favorite radio stations across the street, WWIN-AM, had just got a license for WWIN-FM. And so I called them up again. Let them hear me, not see me. And I remembered, I said, hey, I met this guy, Michael Marinio, who was a big personality back in the day at that station, when I was in this Wally Daniels workshop. And he said, if I ever needed anything, I should come see him. And so I made an appointment to see Michael, and Michael said, all right, Daryl, come on in. You know, meet me at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning. I said, what? He said, 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, meet me. And I was like, dude, I got a party to go to Friday night. I'm not going to get back home until maybe 2 a.m. Saturday morning. Yeah, 15. It was like that. But I had to have some fun. But the deal is, I ended up meeting with Michael. He gave me an opportunity to work as a newscaster for a day. He said, if you can cut this, it was rip and read. Pull it off the AP wire and read it. If you can do this, you got a job. And I could read something the size of the Bible in about 60 seconds flat. That was my newscast. So I saw it really fast like this, and I gave him news, and it was over. Michael came over to me, put his arm around me, and said, kid, you know what? I don't think this is you. You know, you're a nice guy. You know a lot about this stuff, but you just read too fast. Maybe this is not for you. So we're looking in the studio, and there are three other adjoining studios next to this. He's saying, but tell you what, I got an idea. Meet me at such and such a time. Come back to the station, you know, tomorrow at around 7 p.m. Meet me. And so what happened? I came back the next day. And he's like, I want you in that studio over there. That studio was the brand new studio for 95.9 FM, WWIN. And he said, you're going to be a radio personality over there. And that Michael gave me my first big gig there, you know, as a young kid. And it helped my confidence. I got a little bit of money. And it was just a great experience. And, you know, there's something else to the story that I can't think of right now. But that was what happened. And that's what got me into one of several careers, media. And that was my first career. And I really enjoyed it. A funny side story about let them hear you and not see you. When I got to college, I had an opportunity to work for another station. And it was a really big station in the marketplace. And I'll never forget, I didn't have a car. And I would come home to Baltimore for the holidays. And I got into there was a Greyhound bus station. I was in D.C. And I got on the bus to catch my ride back home into Baltimore. And I remember walking in, and there were two women in the seat in front of me. And the two women, I'll never forget, they said, did you listen to that radio station? And he named the station I was working for. And he said, did you hear that guy? His name was, and she mentions my first name. She couldn't remember my last name because it was a little difficult. And I'm sitting in the back, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is cool. Somebody hears me. Again, the great anonymity about, you know, you can be anonymous in radio. And then she says, that guy was such a jerk. He was so beeped up the way he said whatever. And that's how I went out with radio. But it was very embarrassing. It was so nice to be able to walk off the bus right past somebody. They never know who I was, you know? Thank you guys for listening.